listening to Life Strategies with Monique. Get ready to be empowered and inspired.
You know, God is an awesome God. And you know, God is going to do some things. God has placed us in a place us to know who he is. He wants us to know his divine appointment in our lives. He wants us to know that we can be free. But the problem is, some of us are not free. Turn to John 9 and 2 for me. John 9 and 2 says, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" Somebody say, "Get your mind out of prison." Say it again for me. "Get your mind out of prison." Now turn with me to Acts 12. Acts 12. In Acts 12, this is a period of time in when Herod is the king. And Herod Agrippa is Jewish. And because he is Jewish, he is over the Jewish people. And because he's over the Jewish people, he's got to appease them. And so at this particular time, they are persecuting the Christians. Any Christians in here this morning? Now Herod sees an opportunity so that he can find favor with the Jews. And so that he can find favor, he takes first James. And then he takes James and he kills James first. Now after he kills James, he says, "Now I can really, really help me find favor with the Jews. So now I'm going to get Peter." Now Peter is going to be arrested by Herod. So Herod takes Peter and he arrests him with four squads of soldiers. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think it's going to take four squads or anything to just detain me. So evidently, Herod felt like he had to get Peter to a place where he couldn't get away. So he had to get enough people to detain him. And also, Peter had escaped several times before. So Herod says, "I've got to keep him detained." See, I don't know about you, but I don't know if you got any Herods in your life. You know, Herod is the person that's trying to keep you from getting that you're desiring to be. You know, Herod might be the one that's on your job that's trying to keep you from getting that promotion that you desire so much. Herod is the one that's got it all out for himself. He's thinking about number one, but he's going to use you at his hands. So now he's going to use Peter so that he can gain favor with the Jews. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Any Herods? Are you dealing with any Herods in your life right now? So now we're going to pick up at verse 5. In verse 5, it says, "Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the prison were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, 'Arise quickly,' and his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, 'Gird yourself and tie on your sandals,' and so he did. And he said to him, 'Put on your garment and follow me.' So he went out and followed him, and he did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought that he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street. Immediately the angel departed from them." Verse 11, "And Peter had come to himself. He said, 'Now I know. Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod, from all the expectation of the Jewish people.'" I'm going to give you a couple of points this morning. And the first point I'm going to give you is, number one, God will preserve you. Verse 5 says, "Peter was therefore kept in prison." The word kept means to be preserved. So therefore, if I'm being preserved, that means God is keeping me for a greater time. If I'm being preserved, that means God has something greater that he's desiring me to do. If God is keeping me, or if he's watching over me, he has a destiny for my life. So Peter was kept while he was in prison. Now, Peter was in prison. Now, there are two types of prison. One is the physical prison, which nobody in here is in a physical prison. The second type of prison is what we call a mental prison. This is where most of us are. Most of us are locked up in what we call a mental prison, and we don't know how to get out of that mental prison. God says that my people are so locked up and they're afraid and they don't know how to get out of where they are. Their circumstances have got them so bound up, they don't know how to get out. He says, you're locked up in spiritual darkness. Can I get my lights down just a little bit? He says, you're locked up in spiritual darkness. You're in a place where you feel like you just can't get around certain things in your life. You don't know what's going on, but you can't seem to get out. You're bound. And so when you're bound, God says, what can I do with you if you're bound in that state? I need to use you in another place, in another time, but I can't use you if you are bound. So Peter is now, therefore, in a physical prison, and then he's in what you call a mental prison. See, if the enemy can get you in your mind, he gets you in a very place that now is going to cause confusion, doubt, unforgiveness, and fear. See, the devil wants to get you in that particular place. So here you are, and this is your mind in prison. So Peter now is sitting in a physical prison, but we're locked up spiritually in a mental prison. See, if the devil can get me in this particular place, he can start me to thinking. If he starts me to thinking, my thinking now leads to feelings. My feelings now lead to emotions, and now my emotions now lead to bondage. So when I'm in bondage, that now means that I'm under the control of some force or some person. What bondage are you in this morning that you're under control of some force or person? That's bondage. Anybody know about bondage this morning? See, bondage is a place of confinement. A place where I don't feel like I can get out of where I am. When I'm bound, that means I'm within restrictions. I'm sitting in a place. I'm so bound up that I can't get out. There are walls around me. And if there are walls around me, that means I have no outlet. And I have no choice but to back myself up against the wall. And if I'm so far against the wall, now I got to press my way out, but I don't know how to press out of where I am. Because I'm bound. See, Peter was bound. Herod wanted to keep him bound. And that's what the devil wants to do to you. He wants to keep you bound so that you can't get out. See, Peter was a threat to Herod. And if I'm a threat to you, I've got to keep you in a place in which you can't rise to the occasion. So Peter was a threat. See, you're a threat to your enemy and you don't even know it. See, he's got you bound. He's got you locked up and you can't seem to get out. What are you going to do? Are you going to stay in your oppression? Are you going to stay in your suffering? Or are you going to try to get out and find out what God has for you? Point number two, my faith must be unshakable. Somebody say unshakable. Unshakable phrase. Verse 6 says, and when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping. Peter was sleeping. Now, Peter was asleep between two chains with soldiers. Then he had guards on the outside. Let's get this now. Peter was asleep. Peter was sleeping. So when I'm asleep, that's a period of rest in which I don't know or I'm not aware of my surroundings when I'm asleep. So Peter, evidently Peter has some faith in God. Because if you got faith in God, then my God, you can sleep. And that means you're going to have a restful sleep. Now Peter shows us something here. Now Peter is in prison. Now he is in between two soldiers now, bound. Come in, Sister Linda. Now this is Peter. Now here Peter is. He is now wrapped up and he's bound up in chains. But yet and still, he is bound with two soldiers by his side. Now you tell me, how is it that I can sleep like this? See, I got too many things going on in my life, and I can't sleep when I got things going on in my life because I'm bound, I'm restricted. This is where God says we are right now. We're bound, we're restricted. Let me tell you a little bit about being asleep. When I was 27 years old, I got married. And when I got married, my husband ended up going to prison 6 months after I got married. Now, I want you to know, when he went to prison, not only when he went to prison, I went to prison too. Because see, he was in a physical prison, but now I was caught up in what you call a mental prison. Now, what he did at this point, he says, I'm going to put her to sleep. So what he did is he put me to sleep for about 3 years. And in those 3 years, the enemy was beginning to attack my mind. He attacked me so much that I didn't think I was going to be able to function. Y'all come back. Now, at this point, he puts me to sleep. Now, while I'm sleeping, remember now, Peter has two guards on the outside of the cell. So while I'm sleeping, I'm already bound up between two soldiers. So not only am I bound between two soldiers, I got guards on the outside of my cell. Now, the first guard that the devil assigned to me was hurt. This is hurt. I was so hurt. You know, hurt is the affliction that causes me pain. I was hurt. So now, hurt's job, what's a guard's job? His job is to keep me in. The second guard he assigned to me was shame.
Jesus.
See, I was so ashamed about my husband's situation, I thought I had done something wrong. But I hadn't done nothing wrong. So for 3 years, he had hurt and shame guarding me and wanted to keep me from getting out of prison. See, I don't know who your God is this morning. See, your God, it could be anything: dishonesty, lying, stealing, shame, hurt, fear, doubt. I don't know what God is keeping you locked up in that prison, but God says, I never intended for you to be locked up. He says, I gave you freedom. He said, who the Son sets free is free indeed. God says, I want you to be free. You got to stand up and say, God, I want to be free. Somebody say, unshakable faith. Now, also, when I'm in prison, prison is what we call a state of captivity. Y'all can go. Captivity now says that I'm under the control of another. I'm under the control of another, but I have the appearance of being free. Y'all know how we do. At home, we living in bondage, but out in public, we put on all these faces to make everybody think that everything is okay. You know captivity. Captivity says, I'm ashamed, I'm afraid of my husband, I'm afraid of my wife, I don't like my boss or my job, so now I'm living in captivity because that person is controlling me. See, when I'm in captivity, I can't think for myself. I let other people think for me when I'm in captivity. See, God says, I never meant for you to be in captivity. I set you free when I sent my Son to the cross. We don't seem to understand that there's freedom. God gave us freedom, and he intends for us to walk in that freedom. To your captivity may be money, it may be power, it may be cars, it may be wanting to obtain all the wealth in the world, but that's not the promise. Point number three, obedience will open the prison doors. Obedience will open the prison doors. And my topic today is incarcerated but free. The prison doors are open. The prison doors are open. Verse number 7 says, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off. Now remember now, Peter again is in between two soldiers. He's chained between two soldiers, and he's got guards on the outside of the cell. Pastor Joe, Sister Lynn. Now, when I'm in this place, I'm locked up. But in the midst of all of this, in the midst of me being locked up, an angel came and stood by me. Now, remember now, I'm stuck between two soldiers. But yet and still, you got an angel to come and stand right by me. So that means God is saying to you, it doesn't matter how tight your situation is. It don't matter how tight your situation is. I got an angel standing right by you. I got an angel watching over me. So tell your neighbor, I got an angel watching over me. That's just the power of God. That's the power of God. He says, I got an angel watching over you. And then the angel tells him, arise quickly. Now, some of you might not know what that word arise quickly means, but to arise, that means I got to be down. I got to be down in order for me to arise. To arise means to get up and move forward. You got to get up and move forward. You cannot stay in a position where you are if you expect God to do something in your life. You got to get up and move forward. He was obedient. He was obedient to what the angel asked him to do. The angel said, arise quickly. And he was obedient. He was so obedient. Verse 8 says, then the angel said to him, gird yourself, tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow him. Point number 4, prepare for action. Prepare for action. To gird means to prepare for action. If I'm stuck in a place where I am, how can I get out if I don't prepare for action? See, the enemy wants to keep you bound up in your place. But God says, if you want me to get you out, you got to prepare for action. You got to prepare, get up and put on your garment. The angel told him to put on his garment. So if he had to put on his garment, evidently he had to take it off. But it didn't come off until he ended up in prison. See, your garment is your identity. 2 Samuel 13, story of David and Tamar. Tamar was his daughter. Tamar was raped by her half-brother. And because she was raped by her half-brother, she now experienced shame. She experienced so much shame that she ripped the one thing that identified who she was. That was her garment. She tore it off. But God says to you today, I want you to put that garment back on. Your garment may be your self-esteem. It may be your confidence. What is your garment? What is it that you had before you went into the place that you're in right now? Put your garment back on. 1 Peter 13 says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, if I gird up my mind and be sober and rest fully in Christ, then I don't have to worry about anything else. I don't have to worry about my destiny. I don't have to worry about the call on my life. I don't have to worry about my job. I don't have to worry about my children. I don't have to worry about my family. I don't have to worry about my situation. I don't have to worry about my circumstance if I gird up my loins. Gird up the loins of your mind and hand it over to God. Verse 9 says, so he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. Next point, recognize your freedom. Recognize your freedom. See, we so busy. Recognize your freedom. He did not know that he was free. God says you don't know that you're free. You too busy trying to create your way out. He said you won't let me create your way out for you. Not once did it say in the scripture that Peter tried to create a way out. Peter was asleep. Peter was at peace. Peter said, I know God got my back. Do you know God got your back? Do you know God can take care of your situation? Do you know God can get you out of whatever it is that you're in right now? Peter knew. Peter was asleep. And I'm going to sleep like Peter. Verse 10, it says, when they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Next point, in the presence of the Lord, you don't need a key. In the presence of the Lord, you don't need a key. Can you say that with me? In the presence of the Lord, I don't need a key. Let that settle in your spirit for a minute. In the presence of the Lord, I don't need a key. See, when Peter got up and was obedient, he had to get up and move forward. So when he had to get up and move forward, he had to pass them two guards. Now, I had to pass hurt, and I had to pass shame.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when I pass hurt and shame, then I'm on the other side. So you got to get past your guards. When you get past your guards, then you can get to the other side. Somebody say, glory is on the other side. I'm going to read that verse again. It says, when they were past the first hurt, second, shame. They came to the iron gate. Iron is a characteristic of wealth. So somebody say, my wealth is on the other side. My richness is on the other side. See, but you got to get past hurt and shame. You got to get past your doubt, your confusion, your fear. You got to get past whatever it is that's keeping you locked up in that prison. But you got to get to the other side. See, I don't know about you, but I'm choosing a door. How many of y'all remember that show, Let's Make a Deal? That's an old show. It's really, really old. But at the end of the show, they let you choose door number one, door number two, or door number three. But see, we already know what's behind door number one. We know what's behind door number two. But what you don't know is what's behind door number three, and you're too afraid to find out what's behind door number three. Somebody say, push! Because I want to get to glory on the other side. Your glory is on the other side. Verse 11 says, and when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. Your next point, recognize the power of God. Recognize the power of God. It says Peter had come to himself. He came to himself. That meant reality set in. Reality got to set in your spirit in order for you to recognize the true power of God. Reality got to set in order for you to know that you have a true anointing on your life. Reality has to set in your spirit. You got to know. Because Peter said, now I know without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord has set me free. But we're too busy. We're so busy. God never intended for you to be locked up. And he wants so much for you to come out of that mental prison. He wants so much for you to know who he is. Can you come out of that mental prison today? Can you come out of that prison today? Do you want to come out of that prison today? You got to arise. You got to come quickly. You got to get up on your feet and realize that God is your answer. How many of you want your freedom today? Do you want your freedom today? See, I don't know where you are. I don't know what your problems are this morning. But God wants to set you free. He wants to set you free this morning. He really wants to set you free. See, when I'm in prison, I lose my freedom. I lose my mind. I lose my confidence, my self-esteem. And I let the people around me control my destiny. I let the people around me control my future. But nobody has control over your future but God. God is the only one that has control over your future. See, you can't be godly if you're too scared, too afraid in the place where you are. God never intended for you to be locked up. God intended for you to be free. A voice woke me up one morning, and it told me to arise quickly. Come follow me. God wants you to follow him this morning. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your struggles are. I don't know what your mental capacity is. I don't know where your heart is. But God knows where your heart is. He knows what you're going through. But he wants to know, do you trust him enough? Do you trust him enough to bring you out of the place where you are? Incarcerated but free. The prison doors are open.
You've been listening to Life Strategies with Monique.